No security program is 100%, foolproof. We've really got to look at and understand our business, right? We need to understand our business. We need to understand our data. We need to understand our data flows. We really need to understand our partner ecosystems. We need to understand all the software that's involved and what it's comprised of, and really just view it, as I said, like a living process.
Hi, I'm Patty Enrado with HIMSS, and I'm with Dan Dennis, Senior Vice President and Chief Information Security Officer at Highland Healthcare. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Patty. I'm happy to be here.
So today we're going to talk about managing a successful cybersecurity program, how to mitigate risk in the increasing world of cyber attacks, prepare for the unknown, and create a strong cybersecure organization. So Dan, tell us a little bit about your career. So what drew you to cybersecurity?
Sure. So I've actually, been in the field of cybersecurity for almost 25 years and have been fortunate to work for a number of great organizations and, leaders during that time. In terms of, drawing me into cybersecurity, I was a business major back in college, marketing and finance. But shortly after entering the business world, this was all pre-Y2K. I had this strong urge and pull, towards technology. So shortly after graduating college, I began more of a technology focus, discipline. And with everything that was happening around Y2K, I became, focused within the field of, cybersecurity. Used to call it information security back in the day, but, really specialized in that area. And early in my career, decided to do a transition, really moving from the world of business into the world of technology. And during that time, I was able to work for a number of companies. I worked, for startups as small as three, as well as large global enterprises with over 400,000 plus employees and really everything in between. But I think, one of the items that was most pivotal for me staying in the field of information security was one of my first jobs in the field. I worked for a very prominent CISO, Roland Cloutier. He's today the CISO of TikTok. And he really helped instill, the approach and the foundation of security at a very young age that I really carried through, throughout my entire career. After having the opportunity to work for Roland at EDS, I went on to work for a number of SaaS providers, BrassRing, Kinexa, and really helped build security programs from the ground up, learning everything that I had learned under Roland and at EDS and being able to apply it into these, new environments. Back in that day, security is pretty much table stakes today. We were actually able to use security as a competitive differentiator. So a lot of the space that I worked in was the talent management space, and the solutions that we sold focused around HR solutions. And so as you can obviously imagine, security was paramount to them. And where features and functionality may be on par with competitors, we were some of the leaders in our space at the time, one of the first ones with the quote, application certified platforms and so forth. So very proud of a lot of what was done early in my career. Working at those companies gave me a lot of unique views, very close relationship with our customer base. So we really targeted the Global 2000, got to see the way that they, thought and what they sought after and how to build that into some of these, younger companies and helping to build those programs, over time. But we also did a lot in the way of merger and acquisition. I was with companies that acquired a lot of companies, as well as being with companies that got acquired themselves. And so it gave me this unique lens of security to really see, the way it's viewed from a business perspective, right? And the way those acquisitions would streamline into these companies. And then the security programs we had to build around them while bringing them up to par, while continuing to evolve the company and continue its sales along those ways. From those companies, that's when I next went to IBM, and I really entered IBM, I think, at a great point. I was able to gain valuable experience working for a large global enterprise, but it was really at a pivotal transition point for IBM as they started to move in really to the cloud solutions provider space. And so being there again, I was able to gain valuable insight into the way IBM approached it, not only from a corporate perspective, as a 100-year-old company, but also how they were readying themselves for the new cloud frontier, so to speak, and how they were able to take companies such as the ones I worked with and to accelerate a lot of what we had done from a security perspective and bake that into their own programs. So almost like a reverse integration, if you will. So I really appreciated the experience I was able to gain there. For the last few years, 4 years, I was with Benefit Focus. So really working predominantly in the healthcare space, personal health information. We hosted online benefit platforms. And I had come into Benefit Focus really to help build up the existing security program they had and mature it, right size it for the size of the business, and then also help promote a high level employee engagement. We really wanted to see the security teams there being able to foster partnership. And that's really what we excelled at. You know, the groups there were definitely a great group of individuals. We achieved a lot of fantastic milestones. Just prior to leaving, we were able to achieve high trust certification across the global enterprise. So a lot of good experience coming, you know, there. Very thankful, you know, to all the teams I had the opportunity to work with, what we accomplished. And then, today, I'm now currently with Highland. I joined Highland at the start of the year, and I'm really looking forward to, the great things we're going to accomplish within Highland as we head in the latter part of 2022 and beyond.
Yeah. So Dan, that was a lot of history and experience, and it was great hearing all of that. Sounds like you have a really big picture of security and also have witnessed the evolution of security. So as a new CISO to Highland, what is your strategy and focus for 2022?
Sure. So with respect to Highland, one of the things I noticed upon joining Highland is they have a very strong security program and culture in place. So I was very happy to see that, upon joining. But one of the things, as Highland's grown over the years, the way the security program is structured today is it's really a combination of multiple independent programs across the different divisions. So each of those components, while working together, they still focus on what is most critical for that portion of the business. And so from a strategic perspective, my initial focus is going to be as Highland transforms really into that cloud first organization, how we take and unify each of those programs really to present as one Highland. As I mentioned before, having been in the SaaS and cloud space, our customers are really going to look at, Highland, through one lens as opposed to different components. And they want to see how all that ties together at the enterprise level. And so my responsibility is really going to be leading the enterprise security strategy and moving us toward common frameworks across all the different units of Highland, a common set of policies across the enterprise. And while we continue to mature our existing programs, we also want to promote continuous delivery. As I said, as we venture more into that cloud first, a lot of our processes and deployments are going to move into more of that continuous delivery model, and how security is going to help, promote them and be a part of it as opposed to hindering and slowing them down. So as we continue, develop new solutions, we expand our partner ecosystem, which is obviously a big part of the cloud frontier, advanced Highland's enterprise security standards. I'm going to be really focused on how we mitigate risk and assure our protection of our customer and corporate data as a part of that journey.
Great. So in your experience, what is most crucial to a successful cybersecurity program?
Sure. So lots of factors go into success, but if I really looked at what's been most pivotal in my experience, it's really been leadership support and employee engagement. So, from what I've seen, again, like from an M&A perspective of, properties that we acquired along the way and the programs they had and the support versus what we had in the companies that I had, really seeing leadership support, employee engagement was really paramount. As I previously discussed, like I've been fortunate to work with many great leaders and organizations, and they've all had really strong cybersecurity programs, whether those existed before I arrived, or as I said earlier in my career, some of the ones I helped build, having that leadership support was critical to a success. Now, leadership support doesn't mean, having a leadership team that will, approve endless spend. It's really going to be a leadership team that's engaged. They take the time to listen to the risks that we're presenting and understanding the impact to operations. You really need to have a leadership team that supports strong governance models, and they're going to actively participate in those cybersecurity review sessions. And as I mentioned, a part of not only the leadership team being paramount, but really having an engaged security team is also critical to success. I've noticed if you've got a team that doesn't just come in and do their job, but more that they're engaged and they want to be there, they want to help the company succeed, They start to view really the protection of the company assets as part of their personal responsibility, and they take great pride in their work. When they take pride in their work, results usually speak for themselves. So when we have a engaged security team, I found partnership is a lot stronger with other areas of the business. You've heard the mentions of security being showstoppers. Those engaged teams tend to act more like consultants, right? They want the company to succeed. The answers aren't no. It's, here's a different way you can do it. So they want to help them solve problems rather than institute roadblocks that impede success. The engagement, when you see it within the security team, I've seen it often be contagious, right? We start getting all of these, what I refer to as almost security champions across the organization, even not, nominated ones, just people that bring forward information through the form of partnership. And so they're proactively bringing things to your security organization's attention that helps complement a lot of the digging and researching that a security team will typically do. And so, again, I kind of sounded repetitive, but I've been very fortunate that the companies I've worked with have been very highly engaged, both at a leadership perspective and at an employee perspective. And that's, really helped my career.
Great. So Dan, we always ask CIOs and CISOs what keeps them up at night. So I want to ask you, what keeps you up at night? And I'm thinking about ransomware and supply chain attacks. So, how can we limit risk in these areas?
Sure. Yeah, no, ransomware, supply chain, definitely two that, keep me up late at night. When you just look at the amount of attacks that are happening within in the industry and how crippling they are to businesses, it's really imperative, that we're taking proactive measures to reduce the risk of these types of attacks. And so when I look at least these two vectors, at least specific to ransomware, really the best course of action is to be as proactive as possible, right? So when you look at the start, you really want to ensure you've implemented a very strong awareness program. Educating your people, right? Your people are going to be your weakest link. And so if your technical controls are failing, you want to make sure that people know how to identify potential attacks, how to report attacks, and what to do in the event of those types of attacks. In addition to having the strong awareness program, you'll really want to have different levels of technical controls across the organization. These will range from like email filters, message authentication, your AV and malware protection, really different measures to proactively block entry points where ransomware might come into your organization. It's essential that you're conducting regular vulnerability scanning and remediation, right? That's not going to be able to leverage any of these potential vulnerabilities and exploit them within your organization. Multi-factor authentication is going to be a must for remote access, and you really should implement it as much as you can as part of your internal infrastructure and offerings as well. Limiting administrative rights, except where absolutely required, really helps reduce the risk of these types of infections taking place. And then robust network segmentation. If you end up, unfortunately being part of an exposure, that network segmentation is going to help to reduce the spread of it. So you really want to have those technical controls. In addition to a lot of the proactive controls, you want to make sure you're constantly vigilant about monitoring your environment. So intrusion detection systems, security event monitoring. You want to couple that as part of your incident response planning and testing. You want to make sure you've got offline encrypted backups and you're regularly testing those backups. That way, in the event of, of a particular ransomware attack, you're able to react quickly, react accordingly. All those parties that need to be involved are not thinking this through for the first time. You've been through mock drills. You kind of know what you want to do and how you want to react with that. And then you've tested your backups in case you need to resort to restores, and making sure that you've got a good amount of backups in case those restores need to go, back in time before the event took place. In addition to what you're doing internally, it's always a good idea to augment that with some third-party reviews. These could be control reviews or indicators of compromise assessments that really just give you an outsider's view of your network, of your infrastructure for potential risks that you may not have seen with your internal reviews. Some teams are fortunate, they've got large organizations, others have small organizations, and having those third parties you can leverage in that particular expertise is critical to making sure you're leaving no stone unturned, so to speak. So there's definitely, no solution that'll offer 100% protection against ransomware, but a robust program to identify and remediate that, you know, will help ensure timely response and limit risk in those areas. As we think about being prepared, should an incident happen within a company, we'll want to make sure as part of that preparedness that the company is running through different types of mock incident response testing drills and such. It's really critical in these times that the company as a whole and your key responders and key personnel are educated on who is accountable for what actions and what they're required to do. Being proactive in these areas in the event of an issue or an incident is going to help, you know, really shrink time from when that's discovered, and you're not going to be trying to make those critical endpoint decisions when every minute is going to be valuable to you. Another important area as you're going through this is transparency. And so as individuals within the company, if they're seeing activity or actions that do not seem right, or if they've done an action that they felt needs to be reported, they don't want to hesitate, right? We want to have transparency. We want to know about mistakes, because it's only when we know about these mistakes or we know about these actions that we're able to help mitigate any risk that they may have introduced. Having a close line, open line of communication with all of your partners, with your vendors, is also really essential. Again, I've talked about the partner ecosystem, the vendor ecosystem. Working together is what's going to ensure success, right? And so you want to have those open lines of communication, giving people a heads up of, you know, certain risks that you might see, how it could potentially impact them, is really just going to strengthen us as a whole. And so as we transition from, you know, more of the how do we prevent to how do we weather, those are some of the areas we want to keep in mind as we go through being in this security response system together. If I look at supply chains, you know, again, this is ongoing. We're hearing about, you know, the SolarWinds attacks and others. You know, it's really critical that you've got an inventory of all your third parties that are in use by your company, as well as all the third party libraries that you're leveraging both internally and then also through those third parties themselves, as you're going to really need to be prepared to respond to any type of reported security notifications that you may receive. As part of your ongoing incident response testing, you should understand the impact if you need to shut down access to those third parties or those third party softwares, because you know, in the event of an actual event, you don't want to be weighing the pros and cons of what you should do, as every minute's going to be critical during that. As part of your standard acquisition, you know, your software and system acquisition process, you should really ensure that you've got a robust third party assurance program. You want to regularly review that third party's alignment with your existing standards and practices. You want to have regular architecture reviews, ongoing penetration testing, you know, audits of the provider's security controls, whether that's, you know, through your team itself or through third parties that they're leveraging. And then really for any engagements where a third party requires regular data access, you want to make sure you're having, you know, regular reviews of them. You want to ensure that you're restricting access really to what is the minimum required for the business relationship, and then ensure ongoing adherence to your corporate security requirements.
Right. So it sounds like a lot of proactive, you know, engagement, internal, external, you know, plus continuous checking. So, you know, Dan, you have a lot of experience and you've seen a lot through the years. So I'm really curious, what do you think the future holds as hackers continue to push the limits of cybersecurity? You know, and how do we stay diligent?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you said, the threat's always going to be there. You know, you think back early in the career, it's how do you prevent a breach? A lot of it now is how do you weather the breach? You know, really the way to look at it is, you know, no security program is 100%, you know, foolproof. We've really got to look at and understand our business, right? We need to understand our business. We need to understand our data. We need to understand our data flows. We really need to understand our partner ecosystems. We need to understand all the software that's involved and what it's comprised of, and really just view it, as I said, like a living process. You know, from a remaining diligent perspective, you know, notifications from your ongoing vendors, tapping into various news groups. One of the things that I found really to be helpful is I sit on a number of CISO roundtables. Having that network and having the ability to talk to other CISOs and talk about what you encounter and what you see, it really just helps give all these different perspectives you may not see in your company. And also it gives you a fresh It gives them a fresh view of what you have, controls you may have implemented, processes you may have been through, you know, helping people out. Security is a large community, right? And networking and keeping that network and community alive is really what, you know, makes us successful. The other bits is active participation. As I mentioned, a lot of these third party groups, whether that be the large audit groups, the smaller audit groups, the pen testing groups, you know, they have a lot of good insights. You know, I've had close working relationships with firms such as Mandiant and others over the year, talking to them and just gaining, you know, insight in terms of what they're seeing and how they're working through challenges across other organizations. You really want to take that, like I said, that holistic approach and not just be, you know, narrow-minded to just vendor updates. So really it's community and networking is really what's going to keep you on top of that. And like I said, just having a team that appreciates and stays on top of things, and then a leadership team that'll help support that along the way.
Great. So this is an important question that a lot of healthcare leaders, you know, want to know. How do you measure the success of your security program?
Mm-hmm. So obviously, while having no security incidents or great metrics is obviously a nice thing to be able to report to leadership and the board and such, you know, around your vulnerability remediation, your SLA enforcements, your successful audits and pen tests and so forth. But, you know, I really consider success when you see that security is ingrained in the company culture. And so, you know, some of what I spoke about at the beginning, when you see that you've got strong leadership support, right, you see that it's embraced, it's a constantly evolving part of the business, and it becomes seen as a key to achieving business success. That's when I feel like my programs are a success. When I hear security mentioned at the start of a new development, the start of a new project, the start of a new partnership, that's when I know we're successful, right? Gone are the days of, you know, my team's coming in at the, you know, the very, what's supposed to be the end and a go live of a project saying, what's going on? What are we doing? And now we're sort of, you know, bringing things to a screeching halt. When companies have embraced it and see it a part of the DNA, and they want our perspective, they want our conversations in the beginning, right? That's what's contributing to success. When I see a two-way dialogue in my leadership meetings, as opposed to me just going up with a presentation of these are the things we've done, here are the risks, here are the concerns, you know, just a readout versus an active dialogue, that's when it's success. Like when I can go in and it's a conversation versus just staring at slides, right? These are all things that I view as being, you know, success. And one of the great ones is when you get the compliments, right? You know, a lot of times in the security world, we're just brought in when things are bad. And so when you're getting those proactive compliments of how much you're helping an organization, how much you're helping different groups, how you help to shrink time to getting deployments out, right? That you're not a roadblock, but that you're helping to achieve company success. You know, that's when I view our program as its success.
Yeah, you make a really great point about that. You know, the successes versus this went wrong or that went wrong. You know, how has the great resignation impacted retaining talent for cybersecurity? I know that's got to be a big issue.
No, it definitely has. And what's been interesting is the way, you know, this has evolved. When I look at cybersecurity, one of the, I'd say the pivotal points in transition has really been when we, over the last few years, the world started to shift to remote workforce, right? When we shifted to the remote workforce, the plus on the business side was it opened up the doors to greater talent pools if you were with a company that was really restricted to local hiring. But while the company was able to open doors to the greater talent pool, that also opened the doors for that talent to look for other opportunities outside of the companies that they were working with, where they might not possibly have had access to those companies before, whether it be from, you know, a geographic restriction, whatever the case may be. Having those remote positions allowed them to now start exploring opportunities outside of where they, you know, where they currently resided. And so with more jobs out there than resources, right, that's been an ongoing dilemma for us, and that there's more jobs than security resources can handle. That shifts really started to provide these opportunities to these cybersecurity professionals to really grow their careers, take steps into positions that they might not have had access to at the companies they were at, and also secure more competitive salaries than may have been from some of the particular markets that they were previously in. And so myself as a CISO, you know, in other CISOs, really one of our main focuses when we look at risks is really around how do we attract the right talent and how do we retain the right talent with respect to cybersecurity. And an important aspect of this that I found, like I've talked a lot about the engaged teams over time, is really building a strong security culture where cybersecurity professionals feel that they're valued, right? We spoke about just a few minutes ago about how it could be a thankless job. You're only brought in when things are broken, but really seeing the value in their work and that it's appreciated by leadership. You know, it's a very stressful field. And so when you help promote a culture where those types of achievements are recognized, the team feels that they're not only receiving attention, you know, when they're, you know, when there's an issue. While competitive salaries are important, a big, you know, draw and pull for security practitioners is really the training programs that they'll be able to get. There's this thirst for knowledge in cybersecurity. You're always wanting to enhance your skill sets. You're always wanting to learn what else is out there. How can I improve? And by able to, you know, help feed this for them, it's a way to attract and retain that talent because it offers them abilities to enhance the skill sets that they're in, but it also helps them build to really take that next step in their career. Another important factor that I think we all learned over the, you know, the last few years, and I've started to hear reference to the empathetic CISO, which I'm happy to hear, you know, I've been referred to in the past, but it's really ensuring that your employees have that proper work-life balance, right? We need to realize people not only have stress in work, you know, they have stress outside of work, and really being empathetic to these areas, understanding that, you know, there's family, there's people with family, there's people with kids, there's single people that, you know, have outside activities and, you know, other obligations that they need to, you know, need to attend and maintain. Helping to understand that and know that we appreciate it, know that they've, you know, they've got requirements outside of work and balance that. I found that's really been a very strong area of retention. You know, with so many open jobs out there, we want team members to enjoy coming to work, right? We don't want them to be tempted to take that next call from a recruiter, and really helping them feel they're more part of a, you know, a family, you know, than just a worker, I found has really been paramount in terms of the engaged teams and the low attrition levels I've been able to achieve over the years.
And that's a really important point. And I also think that that empathy that we've really really nurtured that in the last couple of years, you know, with the pandemic. So I think this segues well into my next question is, as a CISO, what are you most proud of?
So you can probably guess from the way I talk about the people. You know, I've been very fortunate with the opportunities I've had, the wonderful programs that we built, but I'm really most proud of the teams, right, that I've had. I don't even want to say the pleasure of leading, really the pleasure of working with, right? Each time I've taken on a new opportunity and changed companies, the hardest part I've always had is walking away from that team, right? Because we really have worked, you know, as one, right? We've been highly engaged partners. You know, we take great pride in our work. And I've always pushed, I'm from Massachusetts originally, so I'm a big New England Patriots fan. And I've always promoted that culture of one team, right? And I felt the teams that I've worked with, that's how we've worked, right? There's been no hierarchy. We've all viewed as we're there to help the company succeed, but we're also there to help the team succeed, right? And so we've all worked collectively and supported each other. While we've all had different responsibilities and skill sets within a cyber organization, right? We've always come together as a team to really help everyone work effectively and all be willing to roll up our sleeves and jump in whenever there's an issue. And so as I step back and I've watched, you know, members of my teams grow over time and grow into leadership roles, that's really where I have pride, is just watching, you know, some of these people that started off over the years, you know, working for me was their first step into security, right? Much like, as I mentioned, Roland taking me under his wing when I came in to the cyber world as a, you know, as a business major, they've transitioned in from other careers and being able to see just the new path that we're able to give them. And, you know, some of them have continued to grow and they've grown into, you know, cyber leaders. You know, and I always compare it to, you know, watching my own kids grow. It's a, you know, almost brings a tear to your eye when you, you know, you're able to see them grow and see them succeed. So, you know, those are the areas that I'm most proud of when I reflect on a lot of what I've seen as a CISO in my career.
That's great. So, Dan, we've talked about a lot of important things on the topic of cybersecurity. And one of the things that you said to me that really resonated was, you know, this living process, you know, evolving, it's constant, it's continuous. But in wrapping up, what is the most important takeaway from our discussion today? What do you think is the most important?
Yeah, and I think some of it you just circled on right there, right, is definitely seeing cybersecurity, right, as a business enabler and in a living process, right? It's not a check the box function. And I think companies, realize that today. We've seen the evolution. We've seen the way it's grown. We've seen how it's even shifted to now being a part of boardroom discussions. Understanding the importance of it and the leadership support that it requires, right? Having engaged teams, having engaged leadership, making sure that we're just educating everyone on the risk that's out there and just not, viewing it, as I said, which you did, used to be some of the mentality years and years ago of what's the minimum I can do to get through and, check the boxes. Understanding that issues are going to happen, right? And how are we prepared for these issues and how can we respond to them is really what's critical. And, realizing that we're all in it together, right? We're all one team. When I look at it, I mean, like we said, we can go through all the different, controls. We can go through the different vendors and ways to protect organization. But it really comes down to relationships, both with the team, both with leadership, with the board, and then just your network of peers in the industry and just understanding that, we're all in cyber together.
Great. This has been a great discussion, Dan. Thank you so much for your time.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.